Welcome back. Melnick in the afternoon, TSN 690, along with Chris Knuckles Nylon in all week. Sean Campbell has been here for 2 weeks and maybe longer if Mitch Gallo's bags don't arrive in Dallas. An unscheduled pit stop in Chicago on his way for draft coverage, extensive draft coverage tomorrow night beginning at 7 o'clock right after the Friday scrum. And with you, yeah, a little bit of scum in the studio as well. Sean Campbell anchoring with Tony Marinaro, Dan Robertson, and hopefully Gallo on the draft floor in Dallas. Dave Trentadue is in for Rod Francis, has already started his summer vacation. And by the way, the schedule is now out. Early details, you can tell you the Canadiens do open in Toronto October 3rd, three nights later in Pittsburgh, and then back home. As you know, this was announced yesterday, their home opener against the LA Kings. Will that LA Kings team feature Max Pacioretty? Let us now talk some more hockey with longtime NHL defenseman, three-time Stanley Cup winner. Welcome back, Aaron Ward. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
We're doing well. It's an exciting time here. There's a lot going on. We're just waiting for it to be announced from different corners.
Well, it's draft time, but it's never as exciting as 2 years ago with the old PK Subban conversation going out there. Not to remind you guys of a bitter time, but it's always the over projections. Everybody's the world's greatest hockey player, and until you get them on the ice and playing with guys at that level, you really never know what you got.
That was a I don't know if it was a 12 minutes or 18 minute whirlwind of Weber, Price, Stamkos re-signing, and the guy who won the MVP award last night, Taylor Hall, for Adam Larson. That was it, right? Yep. Bing, bing, bing. We were on the air while that was going down.
Yeah, it was in greater downtown Buffalo. That was a lot of fun.
What were you doing in Buffalo?
Words often not said.
Oh, take us back to your draft day, Aaron.
Oh, ironically, 1991, Buffalo. But we didn't have the benefit of the HSBC Arena. We were at the old Odd. So, got to Buffalo. I remember even as a 18-year-old, I found it odd that the downtown Buffalo district was shut down and nothing was really open that much at that time. So we were sitting at a Holiday Inn, went to draft day. It was the year of Lindros, right? So it was Lindros and the rest of the crew. I think the only kind of story involved was it was San Jose's first draft. And, they're trying to determine way they were going. So we as a group, there was almost like five of us. It was Falloon, Niedermeyer, LaChance, myself, and Matvichuk. And we kind of all, before they had the combine, we all kind of did it as a group where we would go from team to team. And at that time, whoever was testing players went and tested. So I remember showing up on the Friday and seeing the guys and the joke immediately coming out that they had all heard that I was going to, and this is exactly how it came out, that I was going to Winnipeg. I was like, oh, my good God. Because I don't know why I had my hopes, but I had my hopes set on San Jose, which would have been a bad choice because I clearly, in my course of my career, I was not a cornerstone player. I was hoping to go somewhere like that or maybe in a New Jersey, but I ended up going to Winnipeg and was eventually traded. But the story I remember most is, I remember going down, getting drafted, talked to Paul Romanuk, did my interview, and then we had to go back. And this is about the time that, hockey cards were just starting to become a huge thing. So we had to go back into a back area. And I don't remember the network I had to do an interview with, but less than 10 feet from me, a rat was dying because it had been poisoned. So imagine at 18 trying to get your collective thoughts together. You're not necessarily all good at it, but you're witnessing the demise of a poor rodent that no one seems to have noticed. They're all acting like this is normal. So I was A, distraught, and B, disturbed over what was going on, and slightly nervous. So it might quite possibly was the worst interview I've ever given.
Well, let's see if we can find that. All right, Dave is going to go to work on it. Just to refresh everybody's memory, unless by memory Aaron can rattle it off, 1 through 6, the 91 draft. Can you do it?
I don't think you want to hear 6.
The whole point of this. Yeah.
Lindros, Falloon, Niedermeyer, LaChance, yours truly, and some guy named Peter Forsberg.
Aaron Ward was selected ahead of Peter Forsberg.
Hey, suck it, Peter.
Hey, Aaron played more. Played longer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh.
And there was one guy, there was one player selected in the first round of the 91 draft who never played a single game in the National Hockey League, and that guy was drafted by your Montreal Canadiens, big, tough defenseman.
Bilodeau, Brent Bilodeau?
That's correct, from Seattle Thunderbirds.
How about them apples?
Yeah.
See, all those concussions, I still remember something.
All right, on something more serious before we get to some potential trades and your take on the Domi Galchenyuk deal, Pierre Dorion spoke today, specifically stated, which he strongly hinted at in his statement after the Hoffman trade, that his dressing room was fractured, it was broken. Were you ever involved in a room like that where something like similar might have been going down?
I think I can only compare it to something toxic. This is going to maybe, I'm trying to give as few details as possible. I once had a teammate try and wheel another teammate's girlfriend, and our team found out. So that got very ugly. It got incredibly ugly. We tried to handle it old school. You handle it within the locker room, and you handle it at that time, like, man, the benefit was there was no social media, right? And you didn't really have access to us in the forms that you do now, but we had some, and that player actually continued on to do a even shadier event that I can't even say on radio, but we have had those moments of toxicity.
Yeah, something like that, right? Something like that, it's tough to handle in the room. There's other things that can be toxic in an NHL locker room where old school you can handle it, but something like that, there's just no way.
And that's why I think, honestly, we tried to convince that player who was the victim to go up and fight the guy. And we convinced him that if he fought him and the other guy started to fight back, there'd be a dog pile, and we as a team would have his back, and he wouldn't do it. So I went old school style, and I actually we went on a road trip, ironically, and went to play that guy's old team, and I lined up with a face-off. I got to make sure I don't give it away here. I lined up with a face-off, second period. I looked at the centerman on the opposing team and told the centerman, as that player on my team was lined up against him, that if he wanted to take his knees out, beat him up, kill him, I don't care what he wants, but no one's going to do anything. And so their centerman stands up and looks at me. And this is, and the linesman's hearing this, right? The linesman's now completely confused. And so the centerman stands up, and now he's looking at me, and now he's too confused. So I yell over my D partner for reinforcement that no one on the ice is going to come to the defense of this player for the egregious event that just occurred. And then we summoned anybody else who wanted to listen on the other team that we would be willing to let them do whatever they wanted. So the message was sent that you don't backstab your teammates. You don't do those types of things. Again, this is a very grassroots sport, and Knuckles knows this, that we're taught one thing, is that's the mentality of the sum of the parts and not the individual. And once you go against that code, it's really, really hard to regain the trust of an entire locker room. And whatever's going on in Ottawa, and you know, I've heard my stories about what it was, and whatever it is, I don't think it's something that's recoverable. I don't think you can get back from that place, true or not. As far as the story is gone, as the legs that it's gotten, I don't think you can recover from it.
With Aaron Ward on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690, and Aaron has just sent everybody to the hockey encyclopedia and hockey database, and now it's process of elimination.
There's not a chance you can figure out who that is.
Yeah, considering how many years and how many teams he played with, that's going to be tough. But over a Jameson one night, maybe. Off the air.
I will. Well, I got plenty more stories. You get me going on Jameson, I got tons more stories like that.
Alex Galchenyuk, Max Domi, what do you think?
I love it. I think it was time, and I'll use myself as an example. I think sometimes a guy's just not a fit. Not saying he's not a good player. I mean, I think the fan base of Montreal knows what they had in terms of Alex Galchenyuk. But when you're struggling to find out who you are on a team, where you fit, sometimes that can get old. It can get old not only for the player, but it can get old from the team too, the guys in the locker room, because they're having to contend with the constant media attention, right? And I know that indirectly in conversations that I've heard, Galchenyuk has been open for a very long time to try and do everything and anything he could to get himself in a position to be a Montreal Canadian for a long period of time. But I think now, given the fact that you had the season you had last year, the lack of success, I think it's good for Galchenyuk. And I think it's good for the type of player you got. You're not going to send him. That's the ideal, to get someone back who plays center. But again, the trade market is, what do I have that you want? What do you have that I want? I like the acquisition of Domi. He's an absolute gamer. I think some people look at his size and say, hey, listen, you know, we've got another guy that's under this height. He doesn't play that way. I think you can never have enough playmakers. And he's that type of guy. When I watch Domi, I like to watch a game and I pay special attention to Domi because he's going to do something special. He's nothing like his father, but he's competitive like his father.
Aaron, when you think of Galchenyuk, now moving on, he gets a new start. He's going to Rick Tocchet, okay, as a coach. When he was here, he had Therrien and then Julian. Now, listen, I don't want to put it all on the coaches, but it couldn't have been two worse guys for Alex Galchenyuk, being an offensive player and playing under these two guys.
I think Michelle's system would never fit Galchenyuk. In fact, I don't think Michelle's system fit most anybody in the modern-day game of hockey. I don't think you can sit back and wait for your opportunity. This isn't soccer, right? It's not, you know, find your insertion point, but do all you can to stop them from scoring on you. I think Claude's in a unique situation where he comes to an environment where he knows he has to succeed. I mean, he's obviously very familiar with being in Montreal, having been there once. And it's natural, I think, for guys to go and gravitate towards players you feel you can trust and you can feel like you can put in situations that you won't get burned. And to his fault, Galch did some things defensively that didn't allow him to get those opportunities to get out there on the offensive end. So I don't know, Julian. I think given a different circumstance, Galchenyuk coming into a new environment along with Therrien, Julian, then maybe he might have got a better opportunity. But I think that it's a tough market, Montreal. You know, I know I'm saying that, and it's like a broken record, but I think that for Galchenyuk to get a guy like Tocchet, who is a pure player's coach, no nonsense, but he's still a pure player's coach, and he'll have the opportunity to do a little more freelancing than he was provided the opportunity to do here. Whether he's successful, you know, again, you're going to a team in Phoenix that hasn't proven themselves to be overly successful for a very long time. So he could either fall with the demise of that team that's been kind of historically their results, or maybe this is the year that they, you know, Ekman Larson's there and Tocchet gets everybody's attention and something gets going for Arizona that hasn't existed in the past.
Well, I think that's very well summed up. And I know early last season when he was kind of languishing on the fourth line, you told us that he had asked for a trade, right? He had requested a trade, but not demanded one. He didn't go in and say, trade me. And that got him the ice time, and his season kind of picked up from there.
Yeah, sometimes when you I don't necessarily see it as challenging the authority, but I think sometimes there's a message that gets sent to management, like, hey, listen, you want to do better. You want the opportunity. And from management's perspective is, if you ask, then you shall receive. But if you do receive, you better do something with it. So, again, I don't know if Montreal was the greatest fit. It's not Montreal's fault. It's not Galchenyuk's fault. It's just circumstance. I mean, there's a ton of players that start their careers off in one area, and you're scratching your head because it just took one small move for them to go somewhere else where they achieve success, and everybody turns back to the original organization and blames them. There's so many more factors involved with a guy having success in his career than just, well, the coach didn't do this. No, there's a system, there's an environment, there's so much that goes into a player being who they are.
Finishing up with Aaron Ward on Melnick in the Afternoon and TSN 690. A reminder, at 7 o'clock, we'll go to Dallas Live, Mark Bergevin's Media Scrum.
Aaron, Max Pacioretty's name has been brought up for the last month, too, heading into the draft about a possible name being traded. Do Montrealers look at Max differently than the rest of the league?
Oh, geez. Yes, because he's been in Montreal. There's almost an expectation when you've been in the environment, you can handle what's going on. I think it started to wear on him. As much as Pacioretty is an original blue blood, and he's a Montreal Canadian, and he came in and he, you know, achieved a level of success where there was high expectations. I think that given the salary cap, given his lack of production last year, what Montreal maybe, or the Montreal fan base may be expecting they're going to get in return for Pacioretty, I think they should almost prepare themselves for it to be a degree less. And that's the best I can put it. I mean, it's there's so many. I mean, there's so much potential for movement now too. I mean, you've got free agency coming up, and everybody's aware of the fact that Montreal would like to make this move. I mean, it's as much as Montreal has been a coffin of information, it seems like a little bit more lately you're starting to get more and more out of Montreal than you had in the past. And so people are aware of the fact that Pacioretty had a tough season. People are aware that he's kind of lost his patience both with his personal circumstance and kind of how the organization has dealt with him, and that a fresh start may be due. So all those things combined, you know, it's gonna be a mastery of managerial decision making and deal making to get what I think everybody is hoping for.
Aaron Ward, 3-time Stanley Cup winner, longtime NHL defenseman, good friend of the show. Great talking to you again, Aaron. I hope we can do it again shortly.
All right, sounds good. Hey, Knuckles, I'm coming bass fishing. I keep seeing your pictures. I like ocean fishing, but the size of your bass, I'm coming.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. I love ocean fishing too, but there's no ocean here.
Well, come my way then.
Why don't you meet halfway?
I'd love to. I do a lot of tuna fishing off the Cape, you know, a lot of tuna
halfway
fishing.
Halfway may put us in Buffalo again. We don't want that.
No. You've had enough of Buffalo.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you,
Aaron.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
I will tell you right now, and this is the first time I've told you this, I know for a fact that the Canadians are in on Ryan O'Reilly.